I think so. Can you hear me? A little bit? Okay, there we go. Praise the Lord. I'm happy to be with you again. I spoke here last year about the end of April, and I love this church. This has been a part of my life for a long time. I grew up in Zimbabwe back in the old days, Rhodesia back then, and my grandparents were missionaries here in Krugersdorp, so every time we would come down Christmas, any holidays, we would always come to church here. So this is a very special church to me. And delighted to be back with you today and with my husband. And just thank the Lord for what he's doing here. And that you are strategically positioned where you are for this time and this place. Amen. Praise God. The Holy Spirit's amazing. The Holy Spirit is amazing. And there will be lives changed. If you're one of those people who got saved this week and this is your first Sunday here, let me tell you, you have made the most wonderful decision of your life. And being a Christian is the greatest adventure. And the Holy Spirit is exciting. And the Lord says he will never leave you or forsake you. You have got someone to help you every single day from here on. And I just want to encourage you to read the Bible, get a hold of a Bible, and grow. Get to know who Jesus is. And he's so loving and so kind. And just want to share one scripture with you. As you may know, I am over women's ministry. I travel around to do women's conferences and work with women all over Africa. And it's a delight to see how God is raising up women in these last days to stand in their position. We're not made to compete against the men, but we have certainly been called to stand in our position in these last days. But a scripture that has meant a lot to me this year is Acts chapter 10, verse 38. Peter's describing Jesus to Cornelius, and he says, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and power. And if ever we need an anointing these days of the Holy Spirit and power, we need it today. And when it says he was anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good, healing all of those oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And that's what we're called to do, go about doing good, for God is good. And when we do good, we're putting God on the face of this earth. So ask God to show you someone you can bless, someone you can show goodness to, and let Jesus shine through you. And it says, for God is with him. And I think I spoke about this last year. Our challenge is as Christians, even as pastors, is that we make sure what we do, we are doing with God. Sometimes we can be busy working for him, so busy that we lose contact and we're no longer working with him. So the Lord bless you. May you be multiplied more and more and more as you reach out to the hurting world, doing good in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sharon. And let me just say, it's a wonderful, wonderful privilege for me to be here as well. I didn't grow up in Africa like my wife did. We've worked in East Africa for a little more than 15 years, and we've lived in Kenya for that time. And we love what we do. This is only my third trip to come to South Africa, and I am just so excited to be here at this church. I've heard about Christian Heritage Church over the years as a part of missions and a part of the missions family for the Pentecostal Holiness Church and all that God has done through this church and in this church over the years. And I'm just excited to be able to stand in this pulpit and be in this place. The work for our denomination, the Pentecostal Holiness Church, began here in this area and over 100 years ago, 102 years ago. And I'm just glad to be a part of that now. And as Pastor said, we are the regional directors for East Africa. And my wife and I oversee the work for the Pentecostal Holiness Church there in seven countries right now of East Africa. And we're just so excited about it. If we were in Kenya today, out in one of the rural areas, I would say, Hamjambo, mabibi na mabwana. Nina fraha kufika hapa katika jina la Bwana Yesu. Tunasalamia. And I just basically said, hello, everybody. It is so good to be in your presence, and I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. And we come today in the name of our Father God. Amen. And that's who we are. And in Kenya, they speak Swahili. And I live in a place up there where every country I go into, they speak a different language. In Kenya, they speak Swahili. In Ethiopia, they speak Amharic. In South Sudan, they speak Arabic. In Uganda, they speak Luganda. And in Rwanda and Burundi, they speak a language called Kirundi or Kinyarwanda. And then in Congo, they go back to Swahili again, but it's a totally different Swahili. So I don't know any one language well, but I can greet them all in all many languages. But the language of the Holy Spirit is the same wherever we go. And the presence of the Lord truly is the same. And this morning, we have felt truly the presence of the Lord in our midst and in this place. And I was just, Keith, I have to be real honest, I was hoping that you were going to ask me to come. We were going to come to church anyway, but I was hoping you were going to ask us to come and minister today. I would never have asked you to do that, but I was hoping to do that. But we were going to be here to worship with you today anyway, if the bishops didn't have us to go somewhere else. But the first morning that I spoke at the conference this past week, and I really spoke a message that I really believe that the Lord put in my heart. I'd only shared this message two times in all of my ministry. The first time was in the year 2003. Then I shared it a few years ago. And just when I came down here, the Lord just spoke in my heart. That's what I was supposed to share. And Pastor Keith came up and began to share what is happening here at Christian Heritage and what God is doing here. And he felt like this message. And he said, I'm not going to tell you what to share. I'm inviting you to come, but I want you to let the Holy Spirit tell you what to share. But if he would put that on your heart, I believe that was a message for our church as well as for the conference. And as I prayed, and I would have been obedient totally to the Holy Spirit, but I also wanted to be submissive to the pastor. But I really didn't get any new direction. So that's the direction we're going to go this morning, Pastor Keith. But just let me greet you on behalf of all the many Christians that we serve that are a part of our family. We know the family of God is not a denomination, but we are a branch of that family. The Pentecostal Holiness Church is a branch of that family that goes throughout all of Africa and over 25 countries in Africa. We're there. Just in my region of the world, we have somewhere around 500 to 600,000 members in this church. So we're a big family, and we thank God for what he's doing through all of us. But it's better to be a part of the family of God than it is to be a part of any denominational group. But we're thankful to be a part of a good church, a Bible-believing church, a church that teaches the entire Bible. We don't pull parts of the Bible out and say, oh, that was for another time and another place. We believe the Word of God, and I know you do here as well today. Well, today, I think Sister Cheryl's going to help me out so you can kind of get some ideas off the sermon, off the thing. Go ahead and put that first slide up for us, Cheryl. Today, we're going to talk about getting off the porch. Now, I hope you know what a porch is. Some places in Africa I go, they don't know what a porch is. But does everybody here know what a porch is? Sometimes you call it a veranda. Sometimes you call it a patio, whatever it is. But in where I'm from, and as you already can tell, I'm covering up my speech a little bit. But where I'm from in the United States, we talk more like this than most people do. And we have a real southern accent. And that's the way when I'm at home, that's the way I talk. But when I get back over to Africa, I try to change that a little bit because everybody laughs at me here when I talk like that. So I don't do that. But where I come from, we call it a porch. And today my message is entitled, Get Off the Porch. And I truly hope it's going to be a blessing to you today. Let's read a couple of scriptures and then I'll explain to you where it is. That next slide, it says in Acts chapter 5. And you can go there in your Bible as well as writing it here. And if you're taking notes, feel free to do that. I'll be glad to. If you like this enough and you want to have it to study, let me know afterwards and I'll send a copy to Pastor and he can get a copy to you through your emails if you want that. And through the hands, in verse number 12 of chapter 5, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. Hallelujah. And they were all in one accord in Solomon's porch. Now, Solomon's porch was a place in the Temple Mount on Jerusalem. And it was a part of the Temple Mount in an area called the Porch of the Gentiles. Sometimes it was called the area of the Gentiles. And it was a porch there that they would get under that porch. And the Christians, after they were saved and after they had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they were gathering at the temple. Now, they couldn't go inside to the holy places, but they were gathering at this place called Solomon's Porch. And they were having what it looks like was kind of like revival services, because it says there that many signs and wonders were being done, and all the people were there. And a wonderful thing, they were in one accord. They were all there united and just really flowing in the Spirit of God. But there's something there that's amiss. It says they were all together on Solomon's porch. We'll talk about that more in a few minutes. Then go to Acts chapter 7 with us. And we're going to pick up reading in verse number 60, which is the last verse of Acts 7. And we'll go into Acts chapter 8. This is about the time, this is talking about the time when Stephen was being stoned for his work of spreading the gospel. Then he knelt down, and that's Stephen knelt down, and he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And then in Acts chapter 8, starting with verse 1, "And Saul approved of their killing him. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church of Jerusalem, and all except the apostles." Everybody say that with me. "All except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women, and he put them in prison." I just said I grew up in a small town in the South. I actually grew up in a town called Anderson, South Carolina. Has anybody ever been there before? Nobody's been there? Anybody been to South Carolina? Anybody been to America before? I'm sure some of you have been to America. Yeah, all over hands there. Why haven't you gone to South Carolina? That's the best state in the whole Union. Like you would think Krugersdorp is the best. That's the best place. One time you get a chance, go there. Don't go there now. They just had a lot of flooding, and half of South Carolina is underwater right now. So pray for the people of South Carolina. We had a hurricane go through there last week, and it didn't reach my side. My family lives over all the way over on the west coast of South Carolina, but many people have flooded, and many people died there. So pray for the people of South Carolina and North Carolina. But as I grew up in a very traditional family. My father worked in a mill. At this time, he actually worked in a cotton mill, a mill that man took cotton and made cloth and materials out of it. My mother worked in a retail store. It's a store called Sears. I don't think they have it here, but it'd be like a Woolworths or something like that back in those days. And we were just a typical, regular family. And my grandparents, my dad's parents, lived in a small house. It wasn't the house that my dad was born in and grew up in, but he had 11 brothers and sisters, or 10 brothers and sisters. He was one of 11, and the last five of his brothers and sisters were born in that house and grew up in that house. And one of the joys of my life was to go down to be with my grandma and grandpa. That's what I called them. And I would love to go be with grandma and grandpa. My grandpa had a little farm outside of the city, and we would go out there, and he would have a couple of cows and maybe some pigs and usually a donkey or horse or something like that. And I just loved to be with him, and I loved to be there. And one of the things we always did at my grandmother's house when we would go, when we would get there, we would be out playing and things like that, me and my brothers. And at the end of the day, the place that we gathered there, that was the time in America, at that time, nobody had air conditions anywhere in their homes. And everybody's homes were just like everywhere else in the world. They were very hot in the summertime. And in the evening, in the cool of the day, we would go out on the porch. And we would sit on the porch, and my grandmother and my granddad, I just call them what they are, my grandma and my grandpa, that's what we called them. They sat on the porch. They had rocking chairs beside each other. And everybody knows what a rocking chair is, one of those chairs you just sit there and rock back and forth. And then there were a couple of other straight back chairs. There was one little swing on the porch. And then most of the time, if there were many adults there, the kids all had to sit on the ground. We sat either on the side of the porch, where we most of the time did, or we'd go curl up and sit right beside one of my grandmother's or grandpa's rocking chairs. And we would be there, and they would tell stories, and they would just talk about just all kind of things, whether current events, or they would talk about, how many of you ever watch wrestling on TV? Do y'all watch wrestling in South Africa at all? You won't admit it even if you did, would you? Okay, but I'm sure you do. They loved to watch wrestling, and my grandmother, she believed that those men were really in the TV, and they were really wrestling right in the TV. I don't know why she believed that, but she believed they were there. we talk about all kind of things, and usually they begin to talk about things that happened back in the good old days. We like to talk about the good old days. And they just talk and talk, and me and my brothers would be there, and even though we enjoyed hearing those stories, like most kids do, we would sooner or later get kind of just tired of sitting there on the porch, and we would either start throwing a ball back and forth, or we would start wrestling, or we would do something, and inevitably we would hit somebody with the ball, one of the adults, or we would knock over a coffee cup, or we'd knock over somebody's soda bottle. And when we would do that, my grandmother or my grandfather, one of them would pick up a stick or pick up their broom and swat us and say, "Get off of this porch and get out in the yard where you belong." That's what our message is about today. And today, not literally, but figuratively today, I'm going to get a broom and I'm going to swat you and I'm going to tell you to get off the porch and get out to where the church belongs. Amen. Can I do that okay? I'm leaving today, so you won't have to put up with me any longer, and you may swat me to get me out of here in a little while. But let's pray. Father, bless our time today and these few comments that I want to share. I pray that you would help me to share them with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, that I would share them, God, just with your anointing and presence. God, as I've already heard in the service today about the wonderful time of evangelism, of just going out into the neighborhoods nearby the church and sharing Jesus. That's what you've called us to do, Lord God. And I pray that as I share and I go back into these scriptures in the Old Testament and we look about what's happening, Father, that it would help us to see the challenge that is facing the church today and where we are supposed to be. And I ask you to help us with this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Go to that next slide for me, Sister Cheryl. You see a picture there of the Bible at the time of Pentecost. At the time, that's the area of Israel where it was at. And at the time where we're reading the scriptures today, the Great Commission has already happened. Jesus has already stood on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he's already gone up to heaven. The Spirit of the Lord has already fallen right there in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, you can't really see it on that map real well, but it's right around where you see Judea. It's just a little bit north of there is where Jerusalem is at. And the Holy Spirit has fell, and we've had these great revival services, and 3,000 got saved one day, and that really says 3,000 men were added. Doesn't talk about the women and the children. So maybe even that first day, they could have been anywhere from 5 to 10,000 people came into the kingdom that first day on the day of Pentecost. And then it just said that every day the church was growing and the church was growing and the church was growing. You get over into Acts chapter 4 and it talks about another great revival and another day, just one day where 4,000 or 5,000 were added to the kingdom, and how the kingdom was growing, how the ministry was growing, how the church was growing. Many people believe that by the time that Stephen was persecuted, at the time he was persecuted, it had been somewhere between 6 and 8 years from the day of Pentecost. In our Bible, when we look at it, it looks like maybe it's just a few days, because it only takes us a few minutes to read these stories. But church historians look at this, and some say as few as 5 years, and some even go up as high as to 10 years. By the time that Stephen was persecuted, or Stephen was killed and was stoned to death. But there's a problem. There's a problem going on when we look at this. If we look at it, with all this is happening, the church is mainly still in Jerusalem. And not just in Jerusalem, but in Acts chapter 5, the scripture we read, they're not only just in Jerusalem, but a lot of them, especially the apostles, they're basically sitting on the porch. They're having good services. God is blessing them. God is touching them. They've been able to raise money, and they've been able to take care of the poor. They've been able to take care of feeding one another. They've been selling their land so that other people could have money to be able to eat and be able to live. But in reality, they had never fulfilled what God called them to do. And after these 5, 6, 7 years, ever how long it was, the church was exactly the same place where it was on the day of Pentecost. They had not gone on anywhere. They had not done anything. And when we read that scripture in chapter 5, we get this idea that the church has really come to a place that they've just become very comfortable in Jerusalem. They are having godly meetings. They're having powerful meetings, and signs and wonders are being done because God's presence is going to be where God's word is. But they still were not being obedient to the Great Commission, because when Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem, he said, "Go to Jerusalem and tarry until you be filled with the Holy Spirit." Then you are to go into all Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then go out into the ends of the earth to carry this powerful gospel message. And we see, if we go to that next slide, oh, we're already there now. The gospel, on the day of Pentecost, the gospel was represented by people from just about all over this map. There, people had come from all these many different places. They had come to Jerusalem, and they had many of them, most of them had stayed there. And it wasn't until that persecution came there when Stephen was killed, and then when it said that that Paul was very happy with what happened, that he began to go into all the houses and all the churches and all the places, and it said the people scattered. But it said they only scattered to Judea, which is right in that little square, that little square there. It said they went to Judea and Samaria. And that's covered in that, well, not a square, that little rectangle, but it doesn't say that they went even any further. It just says they went to Judea and Samaria, but it said very specifically, it said, but the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. We are a Great Commission church. We are a Great Commandment church. And go to that next slide for me, Sister Cheryl. The vision for the Pentecostal Holiness Church around the world, not just here in South Africa, but it is here in South Africa, but all the Pentecostal Holiness churches in the world, is that we will be a church that is constantly fulfilling not only the Great Commission, but also fulfilling that Great Commission with the power of the Great Commandment. That we're to go into the world, all the world, but we're also to love our neighbor the same way we love ourselves. That's what the church is called to. Many of us have vision statements and purpose statements, and I think we should have. We need to focus on what is our calling, what has God called us to do in our community. But our vision statements and our focus statements and all have to include this, because this is the great call of the church, to go into all the world and also to love our neighbor as ourselves. And what has happened to the church over time is that we have the same thing that has happened to the church in Jerusalem has happened to us, and we've gotten comfortable sitting on our porches. Now, the porch for the Christian Heritage today, the porch is not that beautiful porch you have out front. By the porch, we're talking about right here in the pews. And many churches, and I'm not talking about Christian Heritage as an example today, because I don't even know you. And if all I knew about you is what I've learned about you today, I would say you've already gotten past this message, and you're living beyond this message. But we realize and know that if we're not careful, we as people, we as human beings, we always have a tendency to get comfortable, to get complacent, to get saying, man, God is blessing, God is moving, we're having such good services, we need to stay right here where we are. That was the tendency of the disciples, even when Jesus was up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he was there, and these brothers came down out of heaven, they were sitting with him. Peter went up to him and said, God, let us build tabernacles here, and let's stay here, because we feel your presence and your power. And Pentecostal people, especially when we're having good services and when the Holy Spirit's moving and we're having messages in tongues and people are being healed and God is just saving people and things, we have a tendency to say, let's build a tabernacle and let's just stay here and let's just enjoy this. And let's don't worry about going out there. Let's don't worry about all the other people that are in the shadow of the steeple and they're dying. Let's just do what we are doing here. The only bad thing about a porch is the only people that hear what's on the porch are the people who are in the porch or who are very close to the porch, and the people who are on the outside do not hear. And today, the message I want to share with you today is to get off the porch. I've got four quick points, and I'll share these four quick points, and I hope they'll be a blessing to you as we do. Sister Cheryl, let's go to that next slide. The first thing that we have to do, and what our prayer is going to be today, and as we close this service out, we're going to close out with a prayer time. And the first thing I'm going to ask you to do is this. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, what is your porch? What is your place of comfort? What is your place where you don't feel, you feel comfortable and you can do this for the kingdom, but you can't go over here and do this? Because see, porch is not just a geographical area or a geographical place. It can become many things. The New Testament church, they had at least two porches. Go to the next slide, Sister Cheryl. They had one geographical porch. They had this porch, and they were still, like all Jews even today are, they had an attachment to the city of Jerusalem, and they had an attachment to the temple. They had a geographical porch that still, with all that Jesus had told them, all that Jesus had taught them, even when he told them that one day this temple is going to fall down. It's going to fall down and you're not going to be able to build it back up. It's not going to come back up. It's going to be destroyed. They still, the disciples, the men who walked with him, still after 5 years were sitting in the temple. And they were still doing the work. They had this geographical mindset. For some reason, even though Jesus had told them not to stay, they stayed there because in their religious training, in their religious understanding, in order for God to move, they had to be in Jerusalem. They had a geographical mindset. They also had a traditional mindset or a traditional porch or a mindset porch. Go to the next slide. Mindsets. They had the mindset and the tradition or the ideas that Jews still were better than all the rest. And if you're around Jewish people today, some of them may still have that. But don't some of us have those same mindsets about ourselves? Some of us, if we're not careful, we have nationalistic mindsets. We have traditional mindsets. We have things that cause us to think that we are different than other people and we can't go out and share with them. We're not supposed to go talk to them. We're not supposed to go be with them. We're not supposed to have church with them. And they have these traditions or these mindsets that become porches. And because they have those porches, they'll never get off of them. I pastored a church in the U.S. at one time, and I had a lady come to me one day. And our church was our church was a very integrated church. We had people from we had white, we had black, we had Hispanic, we had people from different nations. So we were very integrated. But this lady came to me, and she was an older woman, and she had mindsets that came from an older time in history. And she said, why can't these people get their own church? And I don't know what she, I do know what she meant by these people. But I asked her, I said, what do you mean by these people? And she started stuttering and stammering. She knew I knew what she meant, but she didn't want to verbalize what she meant because it was revealing the things in her heart that she didn't want people to know and see. And as I asked her that, she did, well, you know what I mean, Pastor. I said, well, I don't know, because the Bible says that Jesus died for the whole world. Jesus died for us all. So what people are there, people that Jesus didn't die for that are in our church? Oh, no, that's not what I mean, Pastor. And I'm saying that because that was a mindset in her mind. That was a tradition that she had built. And she felt like the only way she could do anything was that they had to be people just like her. She had a traditional mindset or a traditional porch. The next slide gives us a scripture. Acts chapter 10, 28. You may want to write this down. Then he said to them, this is the Holy Spirit talking to Peter. He said, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man, or Peter's speaking to God actually at this point. You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or to go from one to another nation? But God has shown me that I cannot call any man common or unclean. This is the Apostle Peter after God had visited him on that housetop, and Peter was there and he had this vision, and that sheet came down with all of the different animals on there. And I'm glad that sheet came down. I went to Joe Delport's house last night and he fixed me the best pork chop. I'm glad that sheet came down and we believed that, because that pork chop was so good, and some butterwurst too, and I'm sure that's got some pork somewhere in it. And it was so good. And I'm glad that sheet came down and it went up and came down and went up and came down and went up. And Peter three times said, God, I can't touch what is unclean. And God said, don't you call unclean what I've called clean. And brothers and sisters, let me tell you that today. Don't call unclean what God has called clean. Just because some other people or some other nation or some other traditions call something unclean, if God doesn't say it's unclean, it's not unclean. And Peter, even after he surrendered to God and he went to the house of Cornelius, in his speech in the house of Cornelius, he brings up again that, you know, Jews are better than Gentiles. You know that, and you know what I'm supposed to believe. If I were going by my beliefs, I wouldn't even be here with you today. Wow, how many of us have let our hindrances keep us from that? Well, I'm coming here not really because I love you, but because the Lord told me I had to do it. That's the only reason I'm coming out witnessing today. The pastor said if we didn't do it, then we couldn't have tea after church on Sunday. So I'm coming out here just for that. It's not because I want to. No, that whole Peter's mindset still had not changed. And even if you read on in there, find out that the Bible says that while Peter was still talking, the Holy Spirit said, if I'm going to do my work, I'm going to have to just go on and while he's talking before he messes the whole thing up. And it said, while he was talking, the Holy Spirit fell on the church and on that house, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. We can get mindsets, guys. We can get traditions. We can, the way we were brought up and the way we were raised can hinder us in the work of the Lord and what God's called us to do. What is your porch today? Let God reveal to you the porch. Your porches will come in all different forms and attitudes. Your porch can be like the early church, or it may be something totally different. Your porch can be a thing of intimidation. A lot of people say, when you ask them, Pastor, and I know you've had this happen, I want you to come and go out witnessing with me. As soon as you say that to them, just a fear goes right down into their heart. And they'll even start shaking. If you watch my hands, I shake all the time anyway. It's not because I'm nervous. I just always have. So don't think I'm afraid today. But people, how many of you have ever had that when someone asked you, I want you to go witnessing with me? Just right in your heart, you just, oh, God, I can't do that. That's a porch the enemy's trying to keep you crippled in. And he's trying to keep you from doing the work of God. That's a porch in your life that the Holy Spirit wants to drive you off of your porch. He wants to get you out of your porch. It can be a porch of inferiority. This is a big one. It can be a porch of past hurts. You've been hurt so bad, maybe by the church. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand how many have been hurt by the church, but I guarantee you there's people in here that have been. I'm a pastor and missionary, and I've been hurt by the church. Maybe the church never hurt me, but church people sure have. But I probably have hurt people in the past as well, so I don't want to point my finger at somebody else. Our porch can be class porches, even tribal distinctions. In Africa, that has become a big porch all over Africa. I work in southern Sudan. And those people, you know, they've been in war for over 50 years. It's one war after another. And now that the North and South are divided and they have South Sudan, it's not even Muslims now against the Sudanese people. Now they're tribe against tribe and they're fighting for power and fighting for who's going to be the lead and all that. And it's just these attitudes are just built into us. God wants to get us off of our porches. And he wants to get us to doing what he has called us to do. And he has called us to be. Hallelujah. Let's go to the next slide, the next point. God made a provision for the disciples to get them off the porch. He made a provision to get us off of our porches. But if we don't, he will use whatever method is necessary to get us out of our porch and to get us out into the harvest field. In Acts chapter 2, he sent the Holy Spirit, and the Bible says they were endued with power from on high. And he came upon them with a message. He gave them the Spirit, and he inspired them to preach. He gave them the Spirit and empowered them to teach. He gave them gifts and abilities of the Holy Spirit. But when that didn't work, they had the Holy Spirit. Even I read to you there in chapter 5, it said the gifts of the Spirit were in operation. People were being healed. People were being delivered. People were being set free. People were being changed. But they were still sitting on their porch. He gave them the power of the Spirit to go, but they used the power of the Spirit to stay and get comfortable. And notice, God was blessing their work, but they were not doing what they were supposed to do. And because they didn't use what they were supposed to do, go to the next slide for us, sister. God, when they didn't do what they're supposed to do, then God had to allow persecution to come against the church. Now, everybody would always ask me, you mean God sent persecution? No, God didn't send persecution. But God lifted his hand of protection off of the church, and he allowed the persecution to come. I think until this time, he had held it back. He had kept persecution coming. I believe he's kept persecution from coming on the church that we're in now. But we're beginning to see persecution happening in the Middle East. We're seeing missionaries and we're seeing Christians in those places. I never knew there were so many Christians in Syria. I never knew that. I knew that there was an underground church there, but I never knew there were so many Christians. And those Christians, they are willingly stepping up and they will not forsake Christ. Even at the, not that somebody threatening them, but they know they're going to die if they do or if they don't. And most of them are standing up and say, I will stand true to God. I don't know if you've been reading these articles this last week. 11 missionaries were killed just 2 weeks ago in Syria. And all of them stood up there and they tried to get them to confess Allah. And they wouldn't do it. And they were killed because of their beliefs. Persecution is coming back to the world. But the thing that tells me about that is persecution is coming. That means there's getting to be ready to be a revival happening in the world. There's ready to be a revival. He allowed that persecution to come. And I wrote this down. Let me just read it. I thought it was something the Spirit gave me. When that did not work, God allowed persecution to come to the church. It is so hard for us to think of something so despicable to be used by God. However, it became as a resort that God had to allow because His children were disobedient. God never had it His idea that He wanted the church to go under persecution. He doesn't want that to happen to our churches today. He doesn't want us to feel these things or experience these things. But more, the most important thing to God is His message and His purpose. And if His purpose must be pushed by some other force, His purpose will be pushed by some other force. In some places, in some areas of ministry, He's changed leadership because leadership had kept things stalled. Leadership had kept things from moving forth. He's changed it in denominations, and just somehow supernaturally God would remove leadership from one place to another, from one church to another church, so that His purpose can be prevailed. His purpose could prevail and His work could go forth. Persecution was not only allowed, but it became the tool that God gave to send the people off the porch. And salvation and healing and financial restoration began to go all over that part of the world. If we're not careful, we can become the same way. Christian Heritage Church, God has given you a new life here. God has given you a new purpose. And I wrote this down last night in my notes just so I would make sure I say it. Don't think about the days gone by. Those of you who've been here for many years and you've been here part of this church, back in the days, what they called it, the heyday of the church. The best days of the church are never behind it. The best days of any church that's seeking the presence of God will be before it if we hold on to that and we look to that. We can't look at where we are now. We can't look at our circumstances that we see today. We look around today and see 80 or 100 people. And those old folks of you that are here, you'll be like the people that when they built the second temple, they just sat there and they mourned and they wept because it didn't look as beautiful as the first temple. And they said, oh, it's not like it used to be. It's not like it was before. Don't worry about what it's like before. Look and see where God is wanting to move you now and become a part of it and say, you know what? We've been sitting on our porch too long. We've been sitting on our hind parts too long. It's time for us now to get up and get out of here before God comes and gets His big broom and starts sweeping us out of here and knocking us and spanking us and chasing us out into the marketplace. We don't want that to happen, and it doesn't have to happen, but if we don't do it, God will cause it to happen to us today. Number three in this message, know that God has the power to make you effective for the harvest. There's not a person in this room God cannot use for the harvest. Not a person. Not a person. And I'm going to prove it to you. We read in Acts chapter 7 and 8 about a guy named Saul. Now, we don't know a lot about a guy named Saul. We know a little bit about an old king in the Old Testament named Saul. But in the New Testament, this guy Saul is only mentioned in a few chapters of the New Testament. But if you don't know it real well, that guy's name later was changed to Paul. He gave up his Hebrew name and he took on a Greek name and his name became Paul. Paul stood and watched Stephen die. He became the main instigator of persecuting the church. Even I read the scripture. It said he would walk right in people's houses that were Christians. And he would drag them out into the streets. And they would throw them in prison. This guy named Paul that Christians all over the region that we looked at in that map. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria area. People all over were afraid of him. People all over were so feared of him. But evidently God looked at him and said, you know what? I can use that guy. God said, I can use that guy. And the next slide shows us after Paul had had his experience on the Damascus Road. Look at what this next slide said. But the Lord told Ananias, he said, the Lord said, go to him, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, before kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my sake. I'm glad when God called me to come to East Africa back almost 20 years ago, I'm glad He didn't show me all the things I was going to suffer. I would rather him left that part out, and I'm glad he did leave it out. Because if he had told me all the things I was going to endure and all the things I had to eat and all the places I had to sleep, I probably wouldn't have come. But evidently he told Paul, this is what you're going to face, brother. In Acts chapter 11, Barnabas takes Paul to Antioch. In Acts chapter 13, Barnabas and Paul go out on their first missionary journey. In Acts chapter 13, verse 9, he forsakes that Jewish identity of Saul and he takes on the Greek name of Paul. And he begins to perform many miracles. In verse number 13 of that same chapter, instead of Barnabas and Paul, now it's Paul and his company. And the rest of the story is history. And maybe you're sitting here today. And you've had some kind of a past. You've had maybe a past that's been a bit crooked and been a bit you've gone in and out and up and down. And you've not really, maybe you've been a Christian sometimes and sometimes you've backslidden. You've been a Christian and then you've gone wayward. Or maybe you've just been a Christian a long time, but you've never really done anything but come to church and be faithful. And you said, well, God can't really use me to change the world. If God can use a man like Paul, then God can use you. He killed Christians and he hated Christ. And if God can use that man, what can God do with everybody sitting in this house today? Maybe you can't come out on Wednesday morning and go with the witnessing team, but you can take these scriptures this young lady had this morning. She'll give you a copy, I'm sure of that. A pastor's probably got a copy. And when you're sitting at lunchtime, you can just have somebody across the table and say, hey, I got something. Maybe you can't even talk to them. Hey, I got something you want to read. Read this right here. And when they read that, after they read that, say, now read this right here. You can do it. God will help you. But you've just got to get off of your porch. You've got to get off of your porch. And your first porch is the idea of realizing that, hey, God can use me. God can use me. Put that next slide up there, sister. Say this with me. If Paul can do it, so can I. Say it with me. If Paul could do it, so can I. And if God can use him, he can use you. And he's proven that over and over and over and over and over and over and over in the Word of God. Get off your porch. Give God a chance to use you for something spectacular. Paul chose to forget what was behind him, and he focused on what was ahead of him and what he could be in Christ. He got off of his porch and he ran the race. And he did face many incredible trials along the way. But look what he accomplished. And we may never have our name in the book. You know what? Let me tell you this. You won't have your name in the book like Paul. Because the book's already written. But there's a book up there that every day God's recording. God's recording. God's recording. And if Jesus said this, if he said greater things than these shall you do, and he's talking about himself, if we'll do greater things than Christ ever did, how much more will we ever do with Paul if we'll allow God to use us by his Holy Spirit? Paul didn't have the internet. Paul didn't have cell phones. Paul didn't have automobiles. Paul didn't have jet airplanes. We got all of that. If God can use him in that time, what can he do with us today? Hallelujah. That's a good place to say amen. Say amen, church. And then the last thing, the last point, and I'm closed. If we don't do it, God will choose someone else who will. If we don't do it, God will choose someone else who will. And the church in the New Testament, for years and years, God waited for the church in Jerusalem to operate. God waited for the church in Jerusalem to move. He waited for the church in Jerusalem to send out the missionaries and to go out into the world. The only people we ever have evidence of going is the only time the apostles ever left Jerusalem is when there was a problem in one of the churches out somewhere. And they would go with their meetings and their conference meetings and all that, and they'd go solve a problem. Then they'd go right back to Jerusalem. And in Acts chapter 13, the focus off of the church of Jerusalem leaves. You don't ever read about Jerusalem really much, the church in Jerusalem anymore. All you read about is the church at Antioch. And God will leave. God's presence will sooner or later, he'll say, you know what? These people are finished. They're not going to do what I want. That's happening in the world today. Many of the churches that brought Christianity, that brought the Word of God to the shores of Africa, many of the churches that were there first before Pentecostals and four others were there, those churches, they came and they set up the churches and they built great buildings all over Africa. I've seen them. I've been in many places in Africa. They had these huge, massive buildings. But the presence of God is not there. They're welcoming homosexuality into their churches. They have bishops who are homosexuals. I read a thing last week that one of the first lesbian bishops, I don't even know how you can say those words together, but the first lesbian bishop has now said in her church, they've set a Muslim prayer room off in their church, and they're even pointing directions so when they come, they know how to turn to Mecca in the church. And she says the church needs to be open to all religions. See, they've left. The Spirit of God's left. The Spirit of God has left. Not because he wanted to leave, but because they rejected him and they turned their back on him. I don't know a lot about Christian heritage. I do know some about your history. But I really feel in my spirit that God has some greater things for you in the future. But the only way it will be is if you'll forget what is behind. And you'll quit saying, well, I wish it could be like in the good old days. I wish it could be like that when we had this and we had that. You know what? You're not going to have that anymore. Because God's got something better for you. God's got something more for you. God wants you to do something that you never could do before because of the situation or the way things were. And the church has gone through struggles. It's gone through trials. It's gone through situations over the years. But today, God is saying, if you'll get up off of your porch and you'll get back out into the city of Krugersdorp, if you'll start connecting. And Pastor, I'm going to tell this word to you because you're the pastor. You need to find a missionary or two that's going out somewhere beyond these shores, beyond this city. And you need to be supporting some missionaries that are going into unreached parts of Mozambique, into the islands that are not reached. You need to be doing that, because a church that's just focused on itself and on its own city, that's great, but God didn't say just go to Krugersdorp. He said to go to Krugersdorp, then go to all the world. And every church, every Christian has the responsibility not only to be active and a part of their own church and their own place of ministry and their own play and their own sphere of influence, but they're also supposed to be doing something to make sure they're helping somebody preach the gospel there and there and there and there and there. Because he said, go to the ends of the earth until the end of time. This gospel must be preached. And if we don't do it, we're not going to say it won't be done, because it will be done. He has already said it will be done. But if we don't do it, then he'll find another church who will. And as a missionary and an emissary and an ambassador, if I could use those terminologies for the Pentecostal Holiness Church, I don't want him to leave us behind. I don't want him to leave us. And I don't want him to pull his spirit off of us. And one day we begin to accept things that are not in the Bible and begin to accept things that are not a part of God's word. And we just begin to become a church that is a societal church. And we cease to be a church that is moved and directed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, today the message to you, get off your porch and do what God wants you to do. And everybody here, that doesn't mean that everybody here has to go out witnessing with the pastor. But God has something for everybody to do. He has something for everybody to do to build his kingdom and to take the gospel message outside to where it goes. Amen. Let's all stand together. We're going to have a prayer, and I'm going to let you stand right where you are today and pray, because I want this to be a corporate prayer for all of us. If you will, just bow your head and close your eyes right there where you are. Bow your head and close your eyes. The first thing I want to ask us to pray today, I want to ask you to pray the first point of this message. And I told you already we're coming back here. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit right there where you stand, God, what is my porch? What is the porch in my life that's keeping me from doing what you really want me to do? What is the porch in my life? What do I have? Do I have some type of a traditional mindset? Do I have some type of a tribal type of a stronghold in my life? Do I have a prejudice in my life? Do I have some type of just a fear that I'm allowing the enemy to keep that fear over me, and I won't do what you've called me to do? Ask the Holy Spirit right now. Just say, Father, what is my porch? Most of you, many of you, he's already revealed to you the reason that you don't go out. While you've been talking, you've already been thinking, you know, if it wasn't for this, I'd be doing that. If it wasn't for this, I'd be doing that. And if you've already said that in your mind, that thing you said, if it wasn't for this, that's your porch. That's your porch. Oh, I'm afraid if I go talk to people about Jesus, they're going to slam the door in my face. That's your porch. You're afraid of being humiliated. That's your porch, and you've got to overcome that. You've got to get past that. What is your porch today? I'm going to be quiet and just let you ask the Holy Spirit. It'll get quiet in here for a few minutes, but that'll be okay. Holy Spirit, just show. Now, maybe some of you have already got something from the Lord. Some of you don't. But right now, what I want you to do, whether you do or not, I want you just to take that, take your hand by faith and lift it up and say, God, this is one thing in my life that I know is a porch. And I want to give it to you today. I want to give this to you today. Just stretch your hand out there by faith. It's an empty hand, but have it turned up like you're holding something in it. Just say, Father, I bring this to you today. And I want you to take it away from me. I don't want it any longer. I want you to take my rocking chair away. I want you to take my porch swing away. I want you to take my fan off my porch that keeps me cool. I want you to take it all away, God. But this is something you've already revealed to me today, God. And I ask you, Holy Spirit, take it away from me right now. Help me. Help me to move. If you have to, God, get a big old hat pin and stick it in my bottom and make me get off of my porch today. Get this, get me out of this place, this mindset. Help me to overcome this fear, this worry of what people think, this pride issue that I have. Help me to overcome this today. Help me to overcome this today. Now I'm praying that, I hope you are as well, that God will remove that. And I come into agreement with you right now. The Bible says where two or more will agree together as touching one thing, it'll be done by their Father in heaven. So I'm agreeing with you. You agree with me as you hold it out there today. Say, Father, I'm giving it up in Jesus' name. I'm giving it up in Jesus' name. And I release it. Now, if you've got your hand up like that, now I want you just to lift your hands up, because I'm going to pray for a new, fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit to come over your life right now. Father, I pray right now. I pray right now, Father, for a freshness and an unction of the Holy Spirit to come in this church today. Father, and we've grown up in Pentecost, and we know it's not all about feeling, even though we don't mind feeling good. But today, I want us to receive by faith a new unction of the presence of the Spirit of God over our lives. Father, and I pray, God, that men and women that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit for 50 years or more, that today, this Sunday in October, God, that today there would be a newness in the power of the Spirit in their life. There would be a newness in the anointing of the Spirit in their life. Father, I pray that you would renew their speaking in tongues, God. You would renew the gifts of the Spirit in their life. But even more than anything, God, that propelling power of the Spirit that came to push us and to move us would just come over this church, Father. You've already been doing it, God, but we want the propelling power of God to come and push this church off of their porch. And we want it to push them into all the pathways and all the highways and all the neighborhoods and all of the apartment places and all of the restaurants and all of the shopping places. God, just push them out into it. God, cause the porch of this church, God, to be the whole city of Krugersdorp. And then all the outlying areas, I don't even know what they're called, but I know like Rudaport and Rustenburg and all these places around. God, that the porch of this church would become so wide and it would become so broad that there's just so many places, God. But then don't let them get comfortable there. Then continue, Holy Spirit, to push them to the uttermost parts of the earth. Father, you want to call missionaries out of this church to go to unreached places in Africa. Maybe unreached places over on the islands off the coast of Africa. Maybe into India. Maybe into the Middle East and in the Emirates and those places. Maybe you want to raise missionaries up right here out of Christian Heritage. And these people will get behind them and send them forth in the name of Jesus. God, let the porch of this church expand to the world. And not be caught up on Solomon's porch, but we were about to be out on the porch of the world, which is the place of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I pray that you would just fill them up with your presence and your power. Now, God, there are men and women that are sitting here, and even though I talked about Paul, they have these ideas inside them. I have them sometimes, God. You know I do, and Pastor does, I'm sure. God, surely you can't use me. Father, and I pray that every man and woman that are standing with their hands lifted, that today they would get an assurance from you that you want to use them. Not only do you want to use them, that you're willing and you will start right where they are. You won't throw them up in front of the masses, but you'll use them one-on-one with their neighbor, with their workmate, with their brother, with their sister, with their best friend, or with one of those parking attendants that works in the parking places. Wherever they would be, God, you will begin to use them right where they are. And we declare today, church, and I want you to declare this with me. out of your spirit that, God, you will not pass us by. Just say that, God, don't pass us by. Don't pass us by. Don't go to another church. Don't go to another village. Don't go to another city. Use us, God. Use us. We ask forgiveness for our complacency. We ask forgiveness of our rocking in our rocking chairs on our porch. Use us, God. And the only way you can use us as a church, God, is if you use me first. Use me first, God. Use me first. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Katika jina la buana Yesu. Amen. Amen. 11. On October the 11th, 2015, you've got a commission from the Lord. Get off of your porch and get out there where you belong. My grandma used to tell us every time, get out of this porch and get out there where boys belong. Boys belong in the yard. You don't belong on the church. Church, you come to the church to get your word. You come to the church to get your anointing. But get out there where you belong and do the work God's called you to do. Amen. I hope this is a good word for you today. I hope the Lord will put it in your heart and do something to change your life. And the next time I come, Pastor, I'm believing you're going to hear testimonies. And we're going to get connected on Facebook and email and stuff, so we'll have all that anyway. But thank you for this invitation. I really felt like I was supposed to come, but I would never ask. Thank you for asking me. And I hope that this has been a word in season from the Lord. Amen. God bless you, sir.